hi, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the film. I'm sweating. It was hard to watch. I was just listening for my mom's comments. She was right behind me. She loved it, maybe. She hasn't seen it yet, so she's just like you. Well, I want to welcome our players on stage. All of them are movie stars now, so come on up, take a seat. How does it feel to be famous like you weren't already? Just want to thank you guys for starring in our film. I thought it was really important to get the perspective of you guys particularly because you cover kind of all the bases and you're well articulated and all right to look at and everything's good. People know you and helped sell us tickets, so thank you. I guess my first question is, what do you think? Très bien, Marie? Hey, I've been working on my French for this panel.
No, I think it surpassed our expectations. I mean, as Billie Jean said in the film, you know, when you're living through history, there's so much work that goes into it, and most of our day is spent digesting it or trying to make it better. And to see it, you know, put together in a film the way you guys really captured the emotion, and it's inspiring. At the end of the day, you know, everybody needs inspiration. And for us to be working hard at this, and, you know, I'm sure I can speak for these two and say, you have some days you wake up and you're just like, you know, is this worth it? Am I doing the right thing? And you see something like that come together, and it's you guys did a fantastic job.
Thanks to you guys. So thank you.
Very amazing, to be honest. It's really a reminder why we're doing this, and it's all worth it. You guys put it so well out there. Elish, your team, very a big thank you for all of that. I think it's gonna really educate people out there with that documentary.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll just chime in, but you know, thanks for continuing to tell our story. I think as these guys have said, we're so close to it, so we forget how impactful every day is and the things that we do on a daily level. But to see this, it's just phenomenal. And it sort of brings back hope in times that you think, oh man, you know, am I doing the right thing? How hard is this? Is this worth it? And it certainly is.
Thank you, guys. I'll take a little boost there, guys. Feel good? Okay. I think it's really important to actually give everybody in the audience a perspective of what professional women's hockey players have dealt with, and you actually inspired me, Liz. You messaged our group chat the other day saying, guys, send me your like craziest stories of things you've gone through. Like, I don't think people realize how difficult it can be, and we're not here to get a pity party, but I just want to give perspective to people that maybe haven't watched women's hockey or understand like things that you've gone through. I heard a rumor there was a one time the visiting team and the home team had to shower in the same showers. Like, this is what we're dealing with here. Like, it's, you know, much different than what NHL contracts and NHL players are dealing. So maybe if there's any stories that can give us some perspective of, like, things you've gone through and what we're hoping to change. And you're laughing already because I think there's probably some good ones.
How much time do we have here?
Well, let's keep it PG because Kaylee, who is a star in our show, is here. And she's only, like, a small little nugget. So, like, let's not scare her away too much. But give us some good stuff. Liz.
I guess I'll go. As a retired player, I have very little to lose on these truths. So, yeah, certainly the shower thing was, you know, a very eye-opening, unfortunate situation that probably doesn't happen in, you know, a beer league, sharing the shower with the opposing team after a game. You know, we've had players that have broken sticks, and the next day, players from the opposing team, because we're in, you know, different cities and sometimes different countries, players from the other team will pick them up in the morning and take them to a pro shop and buy a new stick. And I mean, Kristen Richards is here today. She plays with the Krasaniak stick because it was gifted to her from girls that get free sticks on the national team. And that's our reality. It's happened. We could have a whole chapter on just sticks, honestly. I broke a stick in the middle of a game, and Geneviève Lacasse gave me her stick because she was on the bench at the time. She gave me her stick off the bench because, you know, I'm a non-national team player and sticks cost $300+. What we're asking for is not million-dollar contracts. We're not asking, you know, even for hundreds of thousands of dollars in contracts. We're asking for a rink that when people drive past it, they look at it and they know that Marie-Philippe Poulin plays there or that Hillary Knight plays there. They know the team name. They know not to come in the back entrance where the players come in. It's great. We love our fans, and they are so passionate. But when you walk into the rink and you're there to do a job, and you have, you know, fans asking for autographs and little kids running around, or we're getting kicked out of our area to warm up because, you know, oh, you can't have a ball here. Well, we're professional athletes. I'm not a professional soccer player, but I can play keep-ups with the best of them,
I've
seen
it. It's pretty good. Spike ball.
It's, you know, it is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You have some of your best players in the world, people that you cheer at the Olympics, you're telling them they can't warm up in your lobby. Could you imagine a rink manager telling Sidney Crosby he can't warm up in their lobby? It's embarrassing. And, you know, Hillary Knight, I'll come to bat for you on this one. You know, got blasted on social media saying it's a glorified beer league. It, in some ways, it's worse than a beer league. You know, find me a beer leaguer who's ever had to shower with the opposing team. That's our truth. And we've done a really great job at lying to all of you and saying we're professional, because we're not. Professional only in our performance. And, you know, that's our life experience just simply isn't.
Please add. I meant we're done. Thank you. Anything to add, friends?
No, I think you pretty much summarized it. I mean, to put it in perspective, I mean, not even having a locker room sometimes. I know some of my teammates last year had to, instead of being able to have access to a working bathroom, had to use a garbage can to go to the bathroom because they didn't have access to a restroom. Not having restrooms on buses, not having the right equipment, the tape, the people that go, you know, donate so much of their time behind the scenes, and you know, not having all the things that go into having a successful team. I mean, we sort of had these cloak and mirrors for so long to make sure that, you know, we were pushing the CWHL and we were pushing the NWHL and whatever we were involved in. But the harsh reality is we were so far from where we need to be. And I think that's what's so important about the PWHPA. Unfortunately, it took the CWHL folding, but for us to step up and say, no, like, we deserve more. The next generation of hockey players deserves more, and we're going to make a better future for them.
I mean, I've had very few of those experiences. My coach last year didn't know my name. He called me number 11. Didn't get much ice time. Number 11, get out there. Oh, no, come back. I actually put Stace on instead. I'm like, okay, sure. But I want, so we filmed most of this documentary early September, and things have definitely changed since then. There's been 3 showcase tournaments. You guys have been able to kind of go all over Canada, U.S. Maybe is there anything that's changed or anything that you've seen that's been a positive improvement since maybe we've been able to put it up on the screen? But memories from these showcases that are tangible things that I, you know, I talked to a girl that is going to chase her dreams because she's seen us, or I've seen a sign, or I've been able to inspire someone, like some stories from these showcases, because that's kind of what we're reflecting right now.
Yes, definitely. I think the first showcase that happened in Toronto, I think we're all kids out there. We got to the rink, and I know, as we mentioned, we usually have our dressing room kind of ready. We know where to go. And in Toronto, it was kind of a, like,
it was a yard sale.
Yes, there you go. And kids everywhere, but the first time putting that jersey together and going out there and seeing the signs in the stands and seeing the kids wanting to be there and supporting us, I think that was a really big moment, I think, for all of us. And it was an eye-opener that what we're doing is the right thing. And as the showcases go in Chicago, the one in this weekend, I think it's so worth it. And yes, it's hard to see sometimes and waking up knowing if it's worth it, but there's so much more to it. And I think taking that stand all together, and I think watching a documentary, you see 2014, Canada win, US win the next year, and we're sitting beside each other. We play for the same thing. We play for the same logo. I think it's more than what you see out there. It's so much more. We stand together. We become friends. We become teammates. And at the end of the day, it's pretty amazing. And you're going to go out there and you're going to give you all. Obviously, for us, we want to be professional. We want to be treated. We want to focus on our job, which is hockey, hopefully one day. But being able to be out here tonight and speaking and educate people, knowing where we're at, it's very important. And I think the last couple of months with the game in Kingston as well, it was one game and it was a great turnout. We didn't know what to expect. January 4th, it's Christmas break, but again, lots of people came out and supported us. And you can see as the year goes on, I think people talk and talk more and wants to come and watch us and see where we're at.
Yeah, I think I had my moment, the first Toronto showcase, actually, because there was just so much chaos from when the league folded and really like turned our world upside down, and so much work and correspondence with people who are all over the world at this point. And at the end of the first game, I was doing color commentary because obviously I'm a color commentator. I've never done it before in my life. I kind of had the moment, and the girls were on the ice, and you know, they mixed and mingled, and we had our navy and our white, and everyone's got the same PWHPA logo on, and they just saluted the crowd, and everybody in the crowd stood up. And I think it's one of those moments that you really, just as Marie was just saying, is you realize that we're fighting for something so much more than wins and losses. And that's really what sport teaches. You know, we're not, you don't become the best player in the world because you score tons of goals. That helps. But you become the best player in the world because you're the best teammate. And people value you. And you add something to your team that you can't find in everybody. And I think, you know, when we look at the PWHPA and what we're trying to create, we're trying to be that somebody for women's sports. We're trying to be that teammate that, you know, without this movement, without these small moments accumulating, the future is just going to be what it is right now. So we're just trying to change that.
And one of the most inspiring moments from watching the doc thousands of times over and over again to find little things for Cameron to fix for me was when Billie Jean King says, you know, the players necessarily aren't the ones that are benefiting from this. And I think that speaks volumes. Like, you guys could easily go find another route to be professional athletes, to play, to be selfish in a sense, because you want to make the Olympics. Maybe not us. You guys want to make the Olympics. You want to represent your country. There are ways for you probably to do that in an easier path, but you've decided to maybe compromise your future success or what you're doing right now, kind of flip everything upside down and go all in on this movement that has definitely been a question mark at times. We're like, what are we doing? What's this showcase? When are we here? What's going on? And I just wonder, like, how great that must feel for you to know that, like, it's not really for you. It's for maybe some youth that are here or kids you high five at the rink. Like, I hope you guys understand that and like let yourselves feel proud that you can make that change for that future generation. When Billy says it in the doc, it just like hits me like so selfless. Like, do you feel like it's a part of your duty, I guess, as these athletes to do this, or is it just something that you want to do?
Oh man. No, I think, you know, the signs kind of say it all. When we're warming up and stuff, I almost try not to look at the signs just because they're so heartfelt, and you don't want to break down when you're trying to warm up for a very competitive game. But, you know, where it comes from, if it's a sense of duty or responsibility or just a sheer passion for the love of the game, and we want to make sure everyone has an equal opportunity to play the sport that we love, because, yes, the competitive aspect's there, and you've got rivalries and wins and losses, but what sport teaches you is so valuable, not only on the ice, but off the ice as people. And I think along the way, and I don't know if it's just being around good teammates, you learn this, and you want to impact and have a positive impact in someone else's life, and one way to do that is through sport. Unfortunately for us, our passion project is women's hockey or hockey, so I think that's what gets you out of the bed in the morning. Is obviously the training is fun and the teammates are fun, but it's really about the next generation and making sure that they have a future.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I mean, Ailish is obviously a very humble, you know, personality up here, but she stopped playing to do this. And that's the point. She's
getting much ice time anyway, don't worry.
Number 11, go out there.
Number 11, one
Ashley.
Shift a period.
Hey, Ashley.
They called me Ashley. My name's Ailish, but we just went with it.
But, and what you're doing now, I get it. You feel like you've stepped away, but you're not. You're creating space for a female athlete voice in your industry. And that's the point, is that, yeah, these are two of the best hockey players in the world. They're doing their best to create space for women to excel. I'm a firefighter. I'm going to do my best to create space for women. You're a producer. And so the lessons, as we were saying, that the lessons that we learn in sport, it's not to sport. It's about the space that we create for people that look like us, that think like us, that haven't occupied that space before. So don't be so humble, girl.
Don't worry, I can be cocky. We'll get going. I'm just kidding. I would never. Marie, anything to add? Très bien. So earlier on the first panel, we asked our industry professionals their opinion of what can change, you know, people in this audience right now that it may be new fans, old fans, in between fans. Like, what advice or what message do you have for some of these people out here that have maybe dipped their toe into women's hockey or fully submerged, and what can they do to help you guys as players succeed?
Well, if you're here, you're a fan of women's hockey. Hate to break it to you.
Or I forced you to come. Yay!
And it's just what I just said. Like, I mean, I ran into somebody from my hometown here who I played hockey with her daughters. And it's just like, yeah, we're all in women's hockey in some way or another. Whether you played, you know, when you're a kid, or you watched as you were growing up, or you're a fan of the NHL, you know, there's something about the sport that has brought you here. That's why you came to watch the film, you know, even if it's just, you know, Eilish Forfar. But, and that's the point, like, we're reaching an audience now. It's not that we're reaching a different audience, it's that we're speaking to them, and we haven't spoken to them yet. And I think that's part of this movement, is the audience is there. You know, people say, oh, nobody's going to watch women's hockey. They're going to watch, because they're here. They're listening. But we need to give them a voice as well.
Yeah, obviously, I think having visibility, I think it's very important on TV, on social media, having people that know, have a voice, and they get out there and support us. Like, obviously, Ty Domi is just a good example. For the last couple of weeks, I think having him on Spitting Chitlets podcast, and all of a sudden, they ask, what else you want to talk? And for him, having the courage to speak up and say, you know what, watch women's hockey. I think it makes a difference. And I think for all of us, we advocate for what we love, and having those people behind us, supporting us, makes a big difference. And also watching us live makes a big difference. I think people forget that. Challenge yourself. Like, come bring people and watch us live, because it makes a big difference. You see the best players in the world playing best on best all the time. I think it's great, and I think you got to see it to believe it. And even with kids, they got to see it. If they want to become it, they got to see it and bring them.
Yeah, I think these guys said it perfectly. I think it's the education piece and continuing to be a part of the conversation. But then also, if you have an opportunity to watch it live, watch it live. If there's a live stream you can turn on, or a TV to turn on, make sure you're given that view, even if you're not even watching it. Because those are important data points when we go into like the business aspect of things and viewership and things like that. But be a part of the conversation and share your love just as you would with anything else.
And I know we kind of started this whole day late, kind of on purpose, because you all were sitting here watching women's hockey and just quietly just experiencing what was going on the screen. And I kind of peeked in, and everybody was just in the zone watching. It's like, kind of forced you to, but it was great, right? Like, you enjoyed it. Nobody left. We counted. One of the questions I have for you guys is, I know there are a couple to-be graduating players, you know, from college teams here, or people that have just graduated that are in that bubble of what to do. Why should they join the PWHPA? Like, what? Sell yourselves. You know, like, this is a dragon's den. They're out there. You got a quick spiel. And, I mean, I'm hooked, but there are some people that are maybe like, oh, I don't know, like, do I add much value? I might be a fourth liner. Or I might just be at one or two showcases. Like, how much value does that bring, though, to have more people on our team? And I'll answer it once.
All right, I'll just keep talking first.
Thank you.
Well, first and foremost, it's our responsibility to educate those players. And we take that very seriously. It's a job that we don't get paid to do. And we frankly don't really have the time to do, but we find time. Because we believe so passionately in what the future can look like. And I think that given, you know, if that player has a conversation with anybody who's been a part of the PWHPA, I think that conversation will be enough. because the people that we have on board and the character that they, you know, exhibit day in and day out, it really is about leaving the game better than how we found it. And frankly, if I was a graduating senior, man, you got it good, because you're like a couple years away from actually living the dream. I'm never going to get to live that dream. These two, maybe a couple years, you know, that's our reality. And it's kind of romanticized, this idea, oh, we're doing it for the younger generation. But the reality is, like, we're really not going to get to play in this league. We're definitely not going to make any sort of money doing it, because we've already invested tens of thousands of dollars just to play hockey because we love it. So we don't say that, you know, in vain. It's, we're not going to get to benefit from it. So if you're a senior coming out of college, like, you have the golden ticket. It's around the corner. If you buy in with us, you're going to get to be that name on a jersey that some young girl buys. And any one of us would give the shirt off our back to have that be our legacy. But, you know, we're working to create that future for somebody else.
Nicely said. Along those lines, I think being patient. Obviously, coming out of college, we're, like, if you look back at our college days, we were so lucky. We get to school, you go to school all morning, you go to practice in the afternoon, you go to the gym, and that's it, that's all. You're back at it the next morning. So getting out there, it's not easy. Getting to that reality life, it's scary. But I think if you see what's going on with our PWHP Association and the group that we have, we're special. And there's selfless people in this group that's going to do anything we can to put that league together. And like Liz said, it's not for us, but it's really for the next generation, and we truly believe it. I know we've said it many times, and yeah, it might just, okay, they say it again, we truly believe it, that's going to happen, but it will. And I think that's why we stand together beside each other. We show up to showcases. We want to put up our best foot forward and play our best game every time. But when the game is over, it's, we know we got to go out there and see those kids and people that came out and supported us. And that's the thing that we want to do. Obviously, sometimes after the game, you lost, you not necessarily want to go out there and put that foot forward and say, hey, hi, guys, thank you so much for coming. But you know what? We do it because we're passionate and we love it. We take a step back to ourselves in the dressing room, and when we go out there, we actually truly, genuinely want to be there and want to say thank you to all of you for supporting us. And obviously, when you graduate from college, I think that says it all. I think this group is special, and we're working it to make it better for the next generation.
That's okay. So... Liz and Hillary are actually board members for the PWHPA as like the player representatives. So you guys have been kind of, yes, yeah,
yep.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, still just making sure. You guys have been kind of like from the beginning part of this movement. And obviously it's been, there's been a lot that's gone on, and we've gone from one point to now, you know, we're selling out showcases and people are passionate about what we stand for. But I guess my question is, what's next? Maybe it's top secret information. Maybe you can give us some perspective of where we see the PWHPA in a year, 5 years. Like, the one question that people kind of tiptoe around that I want to pose on you is this NHL question mark. And Billy and Jaina straight out say it in the doc that they think that the future is to pair with a sustainable, already existing league. And a lot of times people are very nervous to say that because it puts a lot of pressure on, when is Gary Bettman going to do anything, which, like, that could be never. But I guess I'm kind of curious to your perspectives as players. Like, and there's no wrong or right answer. I'm just wondering as representatives what your thought is.
Yeah, I guess, I'll let you know. So there's kind of two figureheads, I guess, I see in the NHL, and there's the NHL, the Gary Bettman NHL, and there's the NHL, the owners and the franchises. And, you know, I confidently believe that the franchises that we've spoken to, that we've made connections with, really understand and support what we're doing. And I think, to answer your question, if I would to give a projection for the next few years, I wouldn't be surprised to see NHL franchises buy into what we're doing. And the reason is, and Katrina Gallis spoke to this earlier, is this is not just a financial investment. It's a social investment. And they're not doing it out of charity. They're talking to our players. They're employing our players. They're creating space for them to have, you know, jobs in their organizations, in the Carolina Hurricanes, in Washington Capitals. And they're creating space for our players to have a voice. And you don't do that for just anybody. So I know that they believe in what we're doing. And I think that they are also being patient, as Marie alluded to see, you know, kind of what this is. We've done this in, what, 8 months? Like, look at where we are in 8 months. This is just the players and some incredibly intelligent and supportive administration, you know, and this is what we've created. So in a year from now, in 2 years from now, I do see the NHL getting involved. I think it's a no-brainer. Like, and I can't speak for Gary Bettman. I don't know him. I've never met him, despite my being on the board with the PWHPA. But, you know, the conversations I do know of with the franchises, they get it. They're sports guys, you know. They get what team is. And the PWHPA is just all about team.
Yeah, I think, just to put it bluntly, we've run out of weekends for the calendar year to get involved with various clubs. I mean, that's the demand we're talking about of clubs that want to be involved with what we're doing. So next year looks awesome from where we're sitting right now. And to think, you know, I can't believe it's been 8 months. from going to the first showcase, being like, oh my gosh, are people going to show up? Are we going to have
volunteers? Do we have equipment?
Do we have equipment? What colors are we wearing? I mean, all these things were just built out so quickly. We were almost like throwing up a pop-up shop super fast to provide resources to 200 players out of nowhere and to get people to buy in. And to see where we've come is incredible in short 8 months. But it's also super impactful when you think back and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, we don't have enough weekends to support the demand of clubs wanting us to come into their cities and be a part of what they're doing as well and have us be a part of their clubs.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, you know, the three of us up here are players, and this year has kind of forced us to put on a different hat. And you really gain an appreciation for how much work goes in behind the scenes, and you guys know this, obviously, in producing. And I think that's kind of where the NHL withholds a little bit, because if they're going to do it, they're going to do it right. They're not going to whip something together or throw a Band-Aid on something and be like, oh, well, we tried women's hockey. Good job. Like, if they're going to do it, it's going to be legit. It's going to be well thought out. We're going to have facilities. We're going to have jerseys. We're going to have, you know, the infrastructure is going to be in place. So I think, as Marie was saying earlier about being patient, you know, we do have to kind of pull the reins back a little bit, and as aspirational as we are, you know, really understand that to do it right, it's going to take time, and that's why we haven't seen it yet, because women's hockey has always been, you know, slap a Band-Aid on it and let's make it work.
Yeah, that didn't know if you had to.
I think
that
I can add, like, yes, as 200 plus players, we are truly like aware of people like Nez Hills that represent us. Like, not everybody's on the board, and we trust them, they're gonna make the right call. And we're so thankful since day one that people like them that stepped up and took so many phone calls, conference calls, meetings, and among and beyond. It's just amazing, and truly, from the bottom of my heart, to be honest, I can speak for all the players. Thank you guys so much for doing that, because I know it goes a long way, all those showcases and knowing the ice time and everything all together. Are we wearing red, white, blue? I don't know. There's two jerseys, but doing all that. Seriously, thank you guys.
So if you have questions, get ready. We're going to ask these guys one more question. I'm not sure where our mics are. Okay. I guess my final question is, I mean, it was a really important step for us to hear from Billie Jean King. I like couldn't even breathe, and I was talking to her. It was embarrassing, but she's obviously just beyond an explanation. She's a legend, and she's done so much for women's sports. I guess for you guys, my question is: how important is it to have somebody like Billie Jean King partner with you, and Jaina Heffert, who's a hockey Hall of Famer and got a million accolades to their names? Like, having these people with experience that have gone through similar fights in their life and come out the other side with a WTA under her belt, like it's nothing. Like, how much has she been able to provide you guys in terms of mentorship and knowledge?
It's almost invaluable. I mean, just, you know, we reached out to Billie Jean King as soon as the CWHL folded, actually, when we're essentially on the bus to World Championships hockey tournament, being like, okay, we need to form a players association. How do we do this? And so literally every step along the way, she's let us lean on her and open the doors to, you know, different resources, and obviously a thought leader as well to, you know, be a sounding board. And she picks up the phone every time, and she's super available. And I think that's, you know, similar to Jaina and other people that are involved. It's really heartfelt because they truly feel what we're going through. They've been through it. Jaina continues to go through it with us, but I don't really have the right word, but it's magical to have someone like that be involved and to care so much about what we're doing.
It is really special. Obviously, getting connection with Billie Jean King all throughout Hillary and Gelati Ruggiero, I think that really helped us connect the dot there. And obviously, I remember Billie Jean King. She has a movie. Like, that's legit. And it was pretty impressive.
Hey, we have a movie now too, guys.
No, but the first couple of calls that we had and talking, that knowing that Billie Jean's group at our back is something that, wow, we're in the right direction right there. And the first time we met her as a whole group in Chicago was really special when she addressed us and talked to us, and to be patient, to believe what we have and keep fighting together. I still remember her like really being so adequate and so smart about it, and just like really look us in the eye and say, be patient and stick together. And I think that really stuck with us, and I think having Jaina and having all those pioneers behind us, I think it makes it worth it.
Yeah, I mean, they're two of the most even keel, unassuming, humble people you can probably meet, and they're also happen to be two of the most decorated female athletes in the history of the world. They're role models for us. You know, it's the way they speak about what they've been through and how they acted, and how we see them act and interact with the public and, you know, face criticisms and face adversity. I think for me personally, as I was alluding to earlier, you know, you definitely have your days. You wake up and you're just like, you know, is this worth it? And it's one phone call with one of those two, Billie Jean or Jaina, just to say, hey, like, you're good. We're doing the right thing. I got your back. And, you know, it's truly beyond my wildest dreams that I would call Billie Jean King or
Can
Jaina
ever
a mentor. It really is. I think I did like a grade 7, like, Bristol board, like, project on Billie Jean King. And, you know, now I'm sitting on phone calls with her like probably once a week. So it really is magical. You can't pinpoint what they give to us.
Well, it's always worth it, Liz, if you're ever thinking it's not. Look at the people that came to support, the kids at the rink. I actually get chills, like, think about what an impact, I guess, us or you guys specifically
us.
Will have. Like, your kids one day be like, I'm in that history book. We did this, so feel proud. And we're going to open up to any questions you have for these all-stars. I know. Mom, don't give her the mic. Oh, middle back. I see a hand.
Oh. There you go.
Oh, another mom.
Oh, hold on. We have a microphone.
Oh, no, we're going to give you a mic.
Maybe I'm another mom because my daughter at 8 years of age said, Nagano will be the first time that women's hockey is a full-fledged Olympic event. We have to go. So we had to go. And, I mean, women's hockey has just mesmerized me, excited me ever since. I think, Elish, this movie is so important. And, I mean, you women are my heroes. But I also think that you're right. It has to be seen. This last week, I've gone through the really discouraged time when I knew our junior women's team was in Slovakia and there was no broadcast in Canada. And it was very hard to actually feel that I could get the live stream. But when I got the live stream, it was so exciting. And they played their hearts out. It was women's hockey. And I think that just seeing women's hockey is exciting people now. I'm looking forward to the showcase tomorrow at 4:30. Ryerson, Mattamy Center.
Mattamy Center.
But also right now on change.org, the U18 junior women's hockey petition has over 51,000 signatures. Now that's an interest in women's hockey. So thank you. And I'll just say the other exciting thing was to go to Finland and have Finnish women sit beside me and describe the Canadian players, describe the American players, and say, we never thought we'd see them. You've done an amazing job. You may not realize it fully, but it's there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That woman's hockey showcase broadcast you're talking about, I actually tuned in with a couple of my fellow Yahoo Sports employees. Yeah, they're all basketball fans, but we sat around the screen and watched. There's over 10,000 people viewing online, and I mean, my friends can attest, I was very emotional watching it, but it's just amazing to see 10,000 people tuned in to watch a game in the middle of the day in Slovakia for U18 Women's World Championships, and it's just
And go out of their
incredible.
Way to Google a link to
find the link, because there's nowhere you can find
doorbell cam to go to a different double H, like, mm-hmm. It takes work to watch women's hockey, and that 10,000 people put in the work to get there is, you're right, it's a testament.
Amazing game. Thank you for your comments and support. Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, I think
oh, please comment.
What you just said is, you know, it's not by accident that you stumble on women's hockey, right? You really have to seek it out, and I think that's goes back to the piece where it's like, have that conversation around the dinner table, talk with your coworkers, talk with your friends, your family, really talk about the passion of hockey and what you see from like a competition level, because that helps. And then that next person's going to go out of their way and unaccidentally stumble upon hopefully a better than doorbell camera.
Yes.
But each person is so valuable in what we're doing. You know, whether it's a volunteer or someone just tuning in to watch, it's really important.
We have a question in the far right. Oh, that's my trainer, Ben. Hi.
Hello. First of all, I think this was amazing and fantastic, and you guys are really inspiring, and it's a great documentary, and I'm really grateful to be able to be here to see us. As someone who can't skate for shit, anyway, and has never played hockey, I did come to see Eilish play, and I think it was amazing. I think it's a great product. I have a bit of a naive, practical question. How much per player would be good to make a good living? I mean, obviously millions of dollars would be amazing. But again,
what are you offering?
I mean, listen. Yeah, I
got starting
bid.
I'll call
a few people, but no. But I'm serious. I mean, what would be a number out of pure naivety that you would say, you know, Marie was saying this, that you would say you're happy to do that instead of going and doing something else, say?
Well, I have like four jobs, so if you could supplement all four of those and just put it under one roof, that'd be awesome. Just play hockey. No, I think realistically, if we look at the CFL and you know kind of where they started and how some of their players live their lives, certainly some you know make enough money to pay their rent and to live and you know eat. I would say if I was going to ballpark it, I would love to see our top end players in the beginning make in the $70,000 range, and you know, a lower end player somewhere in the 40s. A $40,000 wage in Toronto is, you know, you can't afford a cardboard box on the corner because it's hella expensive here. But I think that's a reasonable, attainable salary for a women's hockey player. I mean, the U.S. national team in 2017, you know, bargained for $70,000 was your base. Is that correct?
I don't know, but we used to live off of $24,000 annually at best.
There you go. So I lived off of paying to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're realistic, right? I mean, I would certainly assume that a Marie-Philippe Poulin or a Hillary Knight would make the top bracket. If I were to continue playing the league, I certainly wouldn't expect to make as much as them, swinging the gate. But
I made $2,000 last year. That was my starting salary as a professional hockey player.
2000.
And I had to pay for my own gas. So whole I lost dollars. Money. Sorry, mom and dad had to help me pay my rent.
Yeah, I think if you're in the $50,000 to $70,000 range, it's I think that's a reasonable ask. That would be my idea.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, that's a good scalable model for, you know, what the future has right now and where the sport's going to be. But I think you saw it in the documentary too that, you know, men's hockey is almost stagnant in many ways, and the most potential growth is on the women's side. So if you think of the starting salary now at that amount, I can only imagine what you know, the young girls are going to be able to achieve in such a short time.
Great question.
Any more questions? Yeah. Oh, yes. This is another friend of mine. Oh boy. Before she's an Olympic swimmer, Brittany McLean, 2-time Olympian. Everybody, just clap for her. Wow. She's supporting female athletes. She's not even a hockey player. Woo! Oh, sorry, I embarrassed you.
Guys, no, it's fine. I don't want to be another comment in the room, but I just wanted to say how much you're appreciated. And as I've just been called out, but as a non-hockey player, if Ailish was on fourth line, I was on 40th line. I played house league hockey for the love of the sport, and if anyone asks me what my favorite sport is, I always say hockey. So know that you are, all I wanted to say was know that you are making change in more than just the hockey community. Know that you're making change for women. I was an athlete that retired one way too young, but one of the factors being because of money, and I just couldn't sustain the fact that I, you know, I was up at 5 a.m. to do my sport, and I was in bed trying to make it to do the same thing every day, and I couldn't have tried to get a job on top of that, and it wasn't sustainable. And what I want to say is, boy, keep doing what you're doing. The fact that you're not giving up means so much to not just the hockey community, but sport moving forward, and women, and just, if you guys start this movement, it is going to matter in way more ways than you see it now. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Lots of questions. Keep passing the mic.
True beer league players over here. Seriously, beer league players. And a number of our teammates are here. My question for you is, there's a lot happening in women's sport right now, particularly in the U.S. with women's soccer, WNBA. Have you guys been collaborating with them, and or have they reached out to you? Have you reached out to them, and in what way might they be supporting you or helping you or providing you with any feedback or guidance?
Yeah, I think you know, we've done enough events that our paths have sort of crossed, and we try to keep in step with one another, but there's definitely conversations going on behind the scenes, and friendships being developed, and different relationships that, you know, their voices are equally impactful as ours, especially in their space, and one industry isn't in their own vertical, and we're all sort of together in it. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more support from other sports moving forward.
Yeah, I think what women's soccer has done for the States is what the PWHPA is trying to do for North America, if I could make, you know, kind of an analogy there. And we've seen the WNBA. I mean, I've seen WNBA games on TV. The entertainment value is there. The support from their male athletes is there. That's a space that we're trying to move into, and see our NHL players, you know, actively giving us a voice in their space. So you're absolutely right. The success that those two organizations have found is something that we can learn from. And it really does pivot on having the support of an existing organization and having the backing from those people that have been there and done that. So we're very lucky to, you know, not be the first to do it, but be the first to do it in our sport.
And keep in mind, we're like 20 plus years behind soccer.
Just a few years.
So it's gonna take time, but it'll get there.
I have a question about marketing. So with Billie Jean King and tennis, I would say it's a more acceptable women's sport to play in terms of aligning with traditional forms of femininity. And I think that with hockey as well, you're coming up against that hurdle as well, where it's not seen as a sport that women should, quote unquote, play. So I wanted to know, in conversations that you've had with Billie Jean King too, if you've had that discussion around marketing and how and a consensus about what the quote-unquote women's games is and defining yourself? Because I know, you know, some people say the women's game is different, and the other woman on the panel too talking about pure and the caution about being labeled as pure, and then trying to align yourself with, you know, what is the women's game, or are you saying it's just hockey in general? Or I just wanted to know, what are those conversations, and is there consensus about how you're marketing the game?
I'm talking about inclusion.
Yeah, I'm not a marketing person, and I'm not a business person, but I can tell you what I see in how we're represented or how we're being asked to be represented. And I think this is kind of the hurdle that we're really trying to get over right now is we're not NHL players. You're not going to see us out on the ice, you know, with half our teeth missing and think that that's marketable, because there is an element of femininity that we already are and that we can sell. And I think that's kind of the, as I was saying, the hurdle that we're trying to overcome is that we don't know how to sell women's hockey because we've never really tried to sell it for its own product. We've always tried to sell it in comparison to men's hockey. Well, we're not men. I don't know if you noticed. But so find me somebody in that like multi-billion dollar industry of advertising who can take a product that exists, a good product that exists, and create a want for it. That's pretty much what advertising is, if I'm not mistaken. And you have 200 of the best players in the world sitting here putting the product on the ice, just waiting to be marketed, just waiting to be sold for something different. That's what's going to sell. You're never going to sell women's hockey as, you know, a subculture of NHL, because we're not NHL players. We don't live their lives. We don't represent them in our relationships. We don't represent them in, you know, our careers outside of hockey. But somebody needs to recognize that and then sell it differently.
Have one here at the front. Oh, hi.
Thanks so much for the time tonight and the incredible work on the documentary. I think it has to be shown as much as possible, so I don't know how you can get it in the hands of TSN and Sportsnet to show it online and on TV. I need my wife to see it because it took me a few years to get her to get into the Leafs. She's not a hockey fan at all, and she cried when Austin Matthews was drafted because she loves stories. And like this, she would be bawling if she was here seeing this, and I almost was. I think the story that you tell of the challenge and like is amazing. So please do whatever you can to get that movie out. I was just curious, or I had a thought. But when you, Liz, talked about the NHL and how the clubs seem to be working better, or not better, but they're embracing it. They get it, I think, is what you said. That just made me, I thought that was amazing. Like, I had no idea. I think that's cool. I don't know where that goes or how fast. I don't know any of this stuff. This is all news to me. But there's a platform called The Athletic that does local journalism. And I was thinking, they're fast growing. Like, you guys are a fast growing sport. They're a fast growing platform or industry in the media industry. And they really seem to focus on local journalists telling local stories. And so if the local clubs are picking up women's hockey and working with you more than national broadcasters, maybe a local media platform like them might be able to tell those stories in those local markets. I was just thinking about that as I was hearing you talk about the clubs working together. That kind of seemed like it could be pretty cool. So I guess not a question, just a random thought that popped in.
No, that's fantastic. And The Athletic has been you know, supporter of women's hockey for, you know, my time with the CWHL and now with the PWHPA. And I think we kind of, the media is a funny topic because they kind of get trapped in this narrative that's been created about us fighting against the NWHL and women hate women and let's watch the girls fight. It's not something that any of us have ever created, but that's the media spin on it. And that's what they've learned sells their articles. So that's the article that you read over and over and over again.
That's why
this player left the PWHPA and now she's playing the NW and they took her off the website. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we took her off the website because our mandate is that we will not play in a North American professional league. Duh. So, that's a narrative, and I don't know where it came from. I love The Athletic. I love all the work that they've done for us. They're trying to be, you know, objective, and they're trying to sell articles right now. And I can appreciate that. That's their job. That's what they do. But this whole, the media's play in what the PWHPA is trying to create and what has, you know, been in existence the last 5 or 12 years, depending on which league you follow. Honestly, it's a bunch of drama and we're not here for it. We don't care. Mm-hmm. I, you know, if someone wants to go play in a league for a couple $1,000s, good on them, because I get it. I work 2 full-time jobs. I get it. An extra $1,000 is pretty sweet. But where I am right now in my life and the people and the connections that I've made through the CWHL, I think that my legacy that I want to leave is more about, you know, creating that sustainable future versus me making a few extra dollars.
And as somebody like myself, I work in sports media. I'm a writer and an NHL writer for Yahoo, and we cover the NHL. And I often watch to see what people are covering in terms of women's sports, and it's never like, hey, the PWHPA had a great weekend and they had 3 games and these are the players that scored and you could have seen 75 gold medals on the ice. It's like, you know, the broadcast was 3 seconds delayed and it was, you know, not in 3 languages, and they find all these reasons to cut down what we're doing. And we're still miles away from having, you know, TSN broadcasters broadcast our games. And I think the way the media spins it is clicky, clickbait. And I've done that many times in articles. Like, you try to get people to view your stuff. But women's hockey doesn't need that right now. We need, like, people that are going to actually just be good journalists and tell us stories. Like, the Players Tribune. Like, that's great because the players are the ones telling the stories. So, like, if we could all have you guys tell stories, that would sell because it's your authentic voice. But what I find with journalism right now is that as soon as there's something that is, like, for example, a PWHPA member going to play for the NWHL, it's, like, all eyes on that, and, like, let's cut down what the PWHPA is doing because clearly they lost one member, and it's, like, that's not what it's about. If she wants to go play hockey, let her go play hockey. Like, when nobody's upset, like,
the reality
don't
is,
have to,
like,
create a false narrative. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and the media came in because the CWHL folded. None of this media was around when we were in the CWHL and succeeding. None of the media was there when it was, hey, the CWHL is host to the most Olympic athletes in the world. Mm-hmm. Nobody was there telling that story. It was CWHL folded.
And right now,
let's all get on the bandwagon of women's hockey failing.
And if you want to get great women's hockey coverage right now, you're going to a blog that is run by people that aren't getting paid, like the Ice Garden, or like these smaller little blogs that someone is taking the time out of their day to do this because they care about women's hockey. No one's really, like, making a sustainable living by covering women's hockey. And when The Athletic does write articles about it, and I have a good friend that writes for The Athletic, Haley Salvian, who I invited to this event, but she's in Ottawa, and she wants to help tell stories that are not one side or the other. Like, let's just talk about women's hockey and, like, let's just cover it well. Like, how, like, let's just cover the sport and tell you about the amazing athletes we have instead of pitting each other against each other. It's just like, it's not helpful for anyone. It's like really a toxic environment. So we just want, and I think you're right, and I appreciate you complimenting your documentary, but we, you know, we didn't pit anybody against each other. We just showed you what's going on in a very open aspect, and take that as you will, but it could have been easy to just point fingers at the other league and make it us against them. But I just think it's everyone together trying to create a better future, and that's what the stories should be told. That's all. Question. That's my father. Oh boy.
Yes. What about Tim Hortons?
Yeah, Tim Hortons. He's a big Starbucks guy. He's not.
One of your panelists.
Oh, the mic's off. Perfect. Press the up button, Dad.
Oh, I put one in there.
Just put it closer to your mouth. Oh, it's on.
One of the panelists said something along the lines of
have faith in your children, or that your children have power. And kind of the theme of your presentation, the dream gap, spoke to that. And I especially, the thing that moved me almost more than the celebrities and the accomplished people that drove the overall message was the children. And looking at those girls, and there's been some discussion about how do you market women's hockey. I think, you know, you need a like a Greta, or you need maybe an international tournament of the young girls who have those dreams, that have the really, they have the power. They have, they can move, and they can, and it's hard, I would think it'd be hard for the media to put them down, because, you know, it's a ground up kind of power. And it is the essential thing that you're talking about. It's not for you. It's maybe not even for the college graduates, but it's probably for those young girls who speak so well in your video and in real life at the events. You know, I think that's where you can really market this personally.
Thanks, Dad. And I think, you know, Top Line Productions, you guys did a fantastic job with the introduction of the young female hockey player in your screening, in your film, because I'm sure all three of us up here at one point in our life said, I'm going to be the first player to play in the NHL, the first female player to play in the NHL. And that's just kind of our reality, right? Is like, there's still a young girl out there who thinks, the only way for me to be a successful hockey player is if I play in the NHL. That's our problem. You don't need to play in the NHL. We want to create the space for you to say, I want to play in this league. And I think that's the dream gap. It's not about having a young girl break the barriers, break the glass ceiling, play in the NHL. That's like saying, I want to get a swimmer to be the first swimmer to play in the professional women's hockey league. It's a different sport, right? So let's create a space for professional female hockey players. And then she can dream to be that.
On that note, we are getting a little bit tight on time. So we are going to wrap up this panel. Before we give them a big applause and everybody goes on their way, we have a little bit more time to finish up if you're doing raffle or silent auction items, and it's currently 10:25. You guys got a game tomorrow. You got to get to bed. Curfew. I'm going to tell the coach. It's 10:25, so we will give 15 minutes or 20 minutes maybe to finish up your silent auction bids and raffles, and then we will announce the winners back in here because the lobby's a bit crazy. So if you're unable to stay for that, hopefully you've written your name down and we can contact you. In the meantime, we have some thank yous, so come on out to my lovely friends here.